bad day. It wasn't long ago that one of my sons decided he didn't want to go to school that morning, so he didn't. And it was discovered that he didn't. And then I got the call, and he got to come home for a few days. So he thought within himself, said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have two or three days off, and I'm going to have fun. Well, it just so happens that the company that I work for needed this post hole dug around this parking lot. And it just so happens that around this parking lot, it was gravel. And it just so happens that for a day or so, he was digging in this gravel, putting in post holes. And, well, I ended up having to carry him to the doctor because of this tendonitis stuff, but it was worth every penny of it. He didn't skip school after that. He was having a bad day. But if you ever had a bad day, you know, digging post holes really could give you a bad day. Because as we're going to think about, you might be having a bad day digging post holes, such as if you hit an underground country gas line. You might be having a bad day if your farm goes up in smoke. You might be having a bad day if your neighbor's house is burned. You might be having a bad day if your house is burned. And you might be having a bad day if your car has a meltdown. So somewhat, you might, in other words, call before you dig, okay? You might be having a bad day. I think it was that much with Job. You say he might be having a bad day if all your kids are meeting in one house at one time. You know they're up to something. But they're all meeting in one house at one time having a party. And old daddy, he decided, well, I'm going to pray for these kids because ain't no telling what they're going to get into. You might be having a bad day if a storm comes up and blows the kid's house away and the kids are in it. You might be having a bad day if all of a sudden you get word that the stock market crashed. In fact, all the stocks were stolen. You might be having a bad day that your whole workforce walked off the job. But the reason they walked off the job was because they were in chains. You might be having a bad day. You might be having a bad day when your wife tells you curse God and die. You might be having a bad day. Such as Job. He had that kind of day. Well, the fact about the matter is, all of us are going to have days in which we're going to be challenged and temptations are going to go and we are going to begin to see. But what we want to realize is that even though we're having bad days, there are going to be times in which temptations are going to come our way. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus because Jesus is so precious to us. And we're going to see how that Jesus is going to go off in the wilderness, kind of give you the setting. Last week, he went to John the Baptist in the Jordan River, out in the wilderness, and he said, John, baptize me. And John said, look, Lord, I need to be baptized. You not you, me baptize you. And Jesus said, do it. And John did it. Immediately after he was baptized, the Spirit called him away out into the wilderness, there to be tempted of Satan. And he's going to fast 40 days and 40 nights. And then we're going to see that it was out there in the wilderness that there was be a defining moment in his life about the type of his ministry and how he's going to come into face with our public enemy, number one. And Jesus, though, he had a winning strategy. And in this side of this winning strategy, we are going to very much learn and have victory over temptation. So we're going to ask three major questions. Who is our enemy? What are the levels of temptations? And how do we win over temptation? So turn with me, Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to read the full story together. Matthew chapter 4. I'll read it. You can listen on. I got King James. Read whatever translation you got or just tune in. Then was Jesus led up out of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Then he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle in the temple. And he said to him, if Thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. In light of our text this morning, we're going to see some very interesting things, because each one of these affect us in one way or another. In other words, you will not go throughout this day without being tempted. Okay? Maybe you won't even go without this hour without being tempted in some form. Tempted. What do you mean? Tempted. Well, temptation comes in many different ways. But let's just hit the text right here. In verse 1 it says, And Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who is public enemy number one? The devil. You got him. You got him. The devil is public enemy number one. And you would say, well, okay, well, why did Jesus go off into the wilderness? Hey, if you look at that verse 1, it says the Spirit led him. So, was Jesus doing what was right? Yes. Was Jesus going to have time alone with God? Yes. Was Jesus going for a time of prayer and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? Yes. So, in other words, many times you will be tempted in the matter of when you are seeking to do good. So, where was Jesus tempted? He was tempted out in the wilderness. In other words, he was out there when no one else was looking. I like some of those illustrations. All I have to do is go, I can see one of those apples in my mind. No one knows, no one will care, no one's looking. Well, that's where Jesus was. Was Jesus actually tempted of Satan? You better believe he was. The devil sought to hit Jesus right where he was most vulnerable, when nobody was there, when nobody was looking. The devil knew Jesus maybe at his weakest points. What was the purpose of the trip out to the wilderness? It was to be tempted. Tempted. Insight. I looked up tempted in the dictionary. It said, incite desire in somebody. To cause a desire or craving to arrive in somebody. Incite somebody to transgression or to persuade or attempt to persuade somebody to do something considered wrong. Be inviting to some or to somebody. Risk something. To risk the possible destructive powers of something. Others, in another dictionary I read, it said, to try whether a thing can be done, or the purpose of finding out what a person thinks or behaves. To try one's faith, virtue. So what happened with Jesus? Was he tempted? You know what? We're following somebody that has been tempted. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 15, the Bible says, For we have a high priest which can be For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What are we looking at there? Jesus was tempted in every way. You can say, now wait a minute, they didn't have atomic bombs back then, but they had public enemy number one. And see, your temptation may carry a different level, but in all aspects, in all levels, we will see that Jesus is going to be tempted even as you are tempted. And he's tempted by who? He's tempted by the devil, public enemy number one. And the Bible says the devil is a liar, a murderer, a deceiver, a fallen angel. Every sin can be traced back to the devil. So what we understand right here is we need to be alert. We need to be on guard. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And again in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. So what are we looking at? We're looking at public enemy number one, who knows what his future is, but he's a liar and deceiver. And his number one goal was to go after Jesus with everything that he had, because if he could make Jesus fall, then Lucifer wouldn't have to fall. Then the devil himself would not have to fall. So now he goes after Jesus. Let's look at this. What are three levels of temptation? Remember that the body is made up. We're triune. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. So therefore, the three levels in which you and I face temptation are going to come in that capacity. Body, soul, and spirit. We think about the body. The body is that which relates to the physical world, how it relates to the environment that is around us. Then the soul. The soul relates to the emotional world, relationships, our character, our personality. And then the spirit relates to the spiritual world. In other words, how do we relate to God? So, what are these three levels? Level number one is going to be how we relate to the physical world. Level number two is going to be how we relate to the emotional world. And level number three is going to be how we relate to the spiritual world, and our namely God. And let's see how all these pieces fit together. Now, let's pick it up with verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Level one. Level one temptation. What are we looking at? We find a complete cycle of fasting had occurred. 40 days and 40 nights. How many days did it rain in Noah's day? 40 days. How many days was it before Nineveh was going to be destroyed? 40 days. And how many days did Jesus fast out in the wilderness? 40 days. A complete cycle. So Jesus was out in the wilderness in level one, dealing with the physical elements of life. And then the Bible says a compelling hunger came across him. Afterward, the Bible says that he was hungered. He was hungry. Now, folks, I've never been this hungry. If I had meat for 40 days and 40 nights, I can tell you I would be hungry. Sometimes if I go 40 minutes, I get hungry. But 40 days and 40 nights, he was there. And then what happened? After the Bible says that he was physically hungry, it was overwhelming, this physical aspect of his life, then evil's champion comes on the scene. And when the tempter came to him, he said, When the devil is out to get you, folks, he will come where you are. When the devil is out to get you, and no one sets out this day to say, oh man, I want to be deceived by the devil today. Nobody does that. But yet, when he's coming out after you, he will find you, and many times he will attack you in one of the weakest areas, such as three commonly known weaknesses of man is found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. The Bible says, For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In other words, a sub-level right here, we can see, man, you and I are tempted with desires of the flesh, sensation, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell. How does that work? Achan was in the army with the Israelites, and they were going to fight the battle of Jericho. And as they went to fight the battle of Jericho, God told them, said, Do not take any of the bounty that's there. Take none of the garments, take none of the gold, take nothing. All you do, you go win the battle and you come back home. But this guy named Achan, he comes along the scene. They won this great battle. Victorious were the children of Israel. But he looked and he saw these garments over there and he said, Nobody will see. I'll just take a few of those. Those guys are dead. They don't need them. Nobody's going to hurt them. There was a little gold over there. And he looked, he lusted, and he leaped. That's what he did. He looked, he lusted, and he leapt. He leaped over there, and he got those, and he went, and he took them to his tent, put them under cover. Nobody knew anything about it, but God did. God did. Next couple of days, the children of Israel went out to fight the people of Ai. And God took this small group of people in Ai and killed 36 men the first day. And the children of Israel came back weeping and wailing and crying, said, "What's wrong? What's going on?" And God said, "You got sin in the camp." See, that's what happens with the physical. That's where it attacks us. We look, we lust, and then we will leap. Level number two, we can see David and Bathsheba. On the sub-level two, the desires of the eyes. It was when Bathsheba was taking a bath, minding her own business. But David looked, he lusted, and he leaped. And ultimately, people died. You know, attack upon the mind and the thought world. And then sub-level three, the pride of life, such as Satan. Satan one day said, "I will be as God." Pride. Position. And Satan is kicked out of heaven. So what are we saying? Heaven's champion, our model, comes on the scene and he says in verse 4, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Every word. Well, let me ask you. Lesson of level 1, the challenge requires a consumption of the Word of God. Are you consuming the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to consume you so that you might be able to attack and overcome the physical world? How did Jesus, in every case, defeat Satan? He did it with the Word of God. You know what? When you come along like that, you need to have a challenge. Young people, y'all ready for a challenge? Yeah, we got a couple of young people here. There's word that y'all might be going to a camp this year. Is that right? A little bit of word that y'all might be going to a youth camp. I don't know what that camp's going to do, but let's put a little challenge right there. If you'll memorize 300 scriptures word for word, I'll pay your way. Okay? Is that fair? Mark it down, Jared. Any young person that'll memorize 300 scriptures word for word, I'll pay their way. Why? Because I know the value of God's Word. And that's what Jesus did. His parents and all taught him. God the Father taught him. And so therefore we find in Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God." Young people, if you're up for the challenge, you see me after the service today, okay? All right, level number two. Jesus taught. Level number one was that of the physical world. But level number two, we go to the emotional world. Level number two, we begin to deal with the mind. Inside of the mind right here, in level one, Satan came to Jesus. But in level two, Satan sets Jesus up. Look at the challenge. Are you going to use your power for your own personal self? Hey, we will see that as it's focused in verse 5. "The devil taketh him to this high place on the city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple." And he said in verse 6, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thine hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." What is happening? You know what Satan does? Satan will come along and he will actually use the scripture against you. He knows the scripture. Satan knows the Bible better than you and I know it. And so therefore, one of the scriptures that young boys like to memorize is greet the brothers with a kiss. And they interpret that, the girls, you know, they want to be very biblical about what they do. Right, Matt? Is that the verse you use? Cody, I mean, you know. Oh, okay. If you don't, you need to memorize that one. Okay, but anyhow, you start dealing with the elements of the mind. Look at the setup. Now he takes Jesus to the top of the temple pinnacle, the highest point of the temple. I don't know. I don't know how. Was he physically in the body or was he in the spirit? I know that he was there. I know that he saw, so he must have been there physically in order for him to jump off. Now here's the sting. The sting is Satan attacked the mind. You see how he was going after Jesus? Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, prove it. Prove it to yourself. Prove it to the people who are out there. Jump, Jesus. And it wasn't bungee jumping, okay? Jump, Jesus, and the angels will catch you. What kind of Messiah was he going to be? Was he going to use his powers for physical food? Was he going to use his powers for the world to see him? All of a sudden, the devil tempted him with the technique of the mind. You want to know where most people are destroyed? It's on this level. It's level two. It's level two. It's the mind. Now, how does that happen? First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible tells us the story about David. One day, David came along. He was the king, won many battles, living in peace. All of a sudden, one day, Satan came along and provoked him to number the children of Israel. Joab, his number one officer, said, "Look, we don't need to do that. You're the king. You're in charge of all of these things." David turned around and said, "Under no circumstances, you go out there and you number all the men of Israel." He did that. God disliked that. And because he did that, God gave David three choices. He said, number one, you can have a 3 years of famine. Number two, you can have 3 months destroyed by the foe. Or number three, you can have 3 days of the sword of the Lord against you, pestilence and the anger of the Lord. He chose the 3 days. And what happened? In those 3 days, 70,000 men died. Pestilence and the sword of the Lord's avenger. How did that happen? It wasn't physically he saw something, but it was in the mind. So you see, level number two is where Satan comes along and seeks to. But what did Jesus, what's the success? What is the victory? The Bible says, Jesus answered and said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So what is the lesson of number two? Emotionally, we got to have a holy fear of God. If you have a holy fear of God, then you will not perform or commit many of the temptations that come your way. If you had a holy fear of God and you went and you said, "Well, I'm going to tell this lie, but I'm going to go home and then I'm going to face God Almighty," would you tell that lie? No. If you're going to steal that apple, but when you left from stealing that apple, you're going to go home and you're going to face God Almighty, would you steal that apple? No. Level number two establishes that we must have a holy fear of God because we must face a just God. Jesus said these words, "Thou shalt not tempt Lord thy God. Thou shalt not put God to test." And folks, when we sin of our own accord, we're saying, "God, I know what you said. This is what I'm going to do." And folks, we will face God. It may not be home when you face it, but you will have to face the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they all that do His commandments." So there is a fear of the Lord in level 3. Let's move hurriedly on to level 3. In level 3, we find out that Satan comes along and he puts the whole enchilada on there, okay? I mean, it's all right there now because Satan is going to go to level 3, which is our spiritual relation, and now Satan is going to attack Jesus at the highest point. In other words, I would say that Satan is going for the jugular vein right now. He's going to put it all on there. So what he does, he takes Jesus and he shows them all the kingdoms and all of the glory. And he says this, "If you will bow down to me, it's all yours." Now, remember, when was the title deed to the world lost? Garden of Eden. Adam sinned. Who holds the title to? The devil. Where is that title deed coming back? Revelation chapter 5. Okay? The And Jesus takes the title deed and unscrolls it. We studied about that. But this is at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And so at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, now he says, all this glory I will give you. Now, I don't know this for certain, but I think I'm right. When Jesus, it was a matter of kingdom authority. Jesus, Satan is now saying to Jesus, I will give you kingdom authority over all of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Did Jesus know that in 3 short years, he was going to walk down the Via Dolorosa? Did Jesus know in 3 short years that he would face the cross? Did Jesus know in 3 short years that he would have to die to receive the kingdom authority and be offered up a sacrifice? I dare say Jesus knew that. And now Satan is trying to say to Jesus, Jesus, here is a shortcut. You don't have to go by the way of the cross. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I will give you kingdom authority. Would that be a big temptation for you? You won't have to go the way of the cross. But remember now, Satan is a liar, a thief, a murderer, and all that he's saying right here. Satan, if he could have got Jesus to bow down to him, Satan would not have faced another one. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? Verse 10. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Folks, on the third level. Now, if you miss out on level 1, you can miss out on many of the things that God wanted you to have. Okay? If you miss out on level 2, you can lose out on peace with God and peace with fellow men and many relationships that God wants you to have. But if you miss out on level 3, then you miss out on heaven. And you end up in hell. The Bible says, the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Level 3, your relationship with God is the most important level. And it was on that level Jesus said to Satan, get out. And then he says, worship God and serve God only. If we're going to go to the very depth of our being, we need to worship God. We need to serve God. Worship God and serve God. So therefore he teaches us. In verse 11 it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Folks, I still believe in ministering angels. The battle was over now, and it was time for a little peace. Jesus was ministered to. When you win a victory over temptation, you will gain peace. And if necessary, God will bring his angels. That's what happened to Jesus. Now, in 2 minutes, I want to touch on something. How to gain victory over temptation. How to gain victory over temptation. Now, I'm going to do this very, very fast. Number one, recognize the devil is behind all temptation. Okay? Recognize who public enemy number one is. Recognize the devil is behind all the temptations. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, for there's no truth in him. So recognize then, when you're tempted, where it's coming from. Number two, acknowledge that no temptation cannot be overcome. Acknowledge that no temptation cannot be overcome. In other words, every temptation that comes our way, God Almighty will give us a method of means to escape. It doesn't mean he takes the temptation away. But he makes a means for us to deal with it to bring him honor and glory. Found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Number three, hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 111, 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word if I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." So if you're going to have victory over temptation, you got to recognize where it's coming from. It's the devil. You got to acknowledge that no temptation that's coming to you is something special. It's common. It's been around. Hide God's word in your heart. But number four, put yourself under the authority and resist the devil. Put yourself under the authority of God and resist the devil. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God," and notice these last words, "and he shall lift thee up." We will humble ourselves before God and lift us up. Number five, pray for deliverance. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Pray for deliverance. And number six, dress for the battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Dress for the battle. In other words, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the loins of truth. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. In your right hand have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in your left hand the shield of faith. And then you will be dressed for the battle. That's found in Ephesians chapter 6. You will be dressed for the battle. And then, folks, we can go. We can head out. There was a day in which there was this great concert. A mom took her little boy to that concert. And it was going to be this great pianist. I mean, well-renowned. And as little boys do, all of a sudden, mom turned the little boy's hand loose. And he just disappeared. You know, kids can disappear. She just turned his hand loose. And all of a sudden, he just disappeared. And lo, to that mother's horror, she saw that little boy walking on the stage. And he sat down at that grand piano and he started playing Chopsticks. You know what the crowd did? "Whose boy is that? Get that boy off there." All of a sudden, that master pianist looked and saw what was happening. And unannounced, he walked out there and he took his left hand and he started playing this melody that goes along Chopsticks. And over the course of this time, this beautiful song with this beautiful melody. The whole time, that master pianist who was behind the little boy said to him, "Don't stop playing. Don't stop playing. Don't stop playing." That's what Jesus is telling us today, folks. Don't stop playing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop playing, because you never get it. Father, as we come before you this morning, let us be mindful of what Jesus taught us right here. How that we can have victory over temptation. Father, you've given us the blueprint. Help us now, Lord, to follow you and hide your word in our heart so that we may not sin against you. God, I pray your blessing upon this congregation, upon us here, because each one of us, Lord, will face this day or the day coming major temptations that will come our way. Help us to have victory each and every time. And Father, if we do falter, if we do fall down, thank you that Jesus died. His blood will cover our sins. Help us to rise up to walk forward so that we not sin. I pray in Jesus' name. We always like to give people opportunity to share in a time. Would you like to give your life to Jesus this morning? We're going to take just a few moments for an invitation, and then we're going to share together
in the baptism, celebrate what God has done. Let's stand together and sing. Would you like to come this morning? Prayer altars are open.